ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
Oh. See it all right?
Yes.
Service intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. He from whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is the equipoise and happiness to distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. My devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoise in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residents, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. To those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service, and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me.
Generally, the transcendentalists can be divided into two classes. One is the impersonalist and the other is the personalist. The personalist devotee engages himself with all energy in the service of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist also engages himself, not directly in the service of Krishna, but in meditation on the impersonal pramana, the unmanifested. We find in this chapter that the different processes for realization of the Absolute Truth, bhakti yoga, devotional service, is the highest. We find in this chapter that of the different processes for realization of the Absolute Truth, bhakti yoga, devotional service, is the highest. If one at all desires to have the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he must take to devotional service. Those who worship the Supreme Lord directly by devotional service are called personalists. Those who engage themselves in meditation on the impersonal Brahman are called impersonalists. Arjuna is here questioning which position is better. There are different ways to realize the Absolute Truth, but Krishna indicates in this chapter that bhakti yoga, or devotional service to him, is the highest of all. It is the most direct, and it is the easiest means for association with the Godhead. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord explained that a living entity is not the material body. He is a spiritual spark. And the Absolute Truth is the spiritual whole. In the seventh chapter, he spoke of the living entity as being part and parcel of the Supreme Whole and recommended that he transfer his attention fully to the whole. Then again, in the eighth chapter, it was said that anyone who thinks of Krishna at the time of quitting his body is at once transferred to the spiritual sky, to the abode of Krishna. And at the end of the sixth chapter, the Lord clearly said that of all yogis, one who always thinks of Krishna within himself is considered the most perfect. So in practically every chapter, the conclusion has been that one should be attached to the personal form of Krishna, for that is the highest spiritual realization. Nevertheless, there are those who are not attached to the personal form of Krishna. They are so firmly detached that even in the preparation of commentaries to Bhagavad Gita, they want to distract other people from Krishna and transfer all devotion to the impersonal Brahmajyoti. They prefer to meditate on the impersonal form of the Absolute Truth, which is beyond the reach of the senses and is not manifested. And is not manifest. And so, factually, there are two classes of transcendentalists. Now Arjuna is trying to settle the question of which process is easier and which of the classes is most perfect. In other words, he is clarifying his own position because he is attached to the personal form of Krishna. He is not attached to the impersonal Brahman. He wants to know whether his position is secure. The impersonal manifestation, either in this material world or in the spiritual world of the Supreme Lord, is a problem for meditation. Actually, one cannot perfectly conceive of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, Arjuna wants to say, what is the use of such a waste of time? Arjuna experienced in the 11th chapter that to be attached to the personal form of Krishna is best, because he could thus understand all other forms at the same time, and there was no disturbance to his love for Krishna. This important question asked of Krishna by Arjuna will clarify the distinction between the impersonal and personal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. Text number 2. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Purport. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and who worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam, or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is full of samadhi. Texts 3 and 4. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engage in the welfare of all at last achieving. Purport. Those who do not directly worship the Supreme Godhead, Krishna, but who attempt to achieve the same goal by an indirect process, also ultimately achieve the same goal. Sri Krishna. After many births, the man of wisdom seeks refuge in me, knowing that Vasudeva is all. When a person comes to full knowledge after many births, he surrenders unto Lord Krishna. If one approaches the Godhead by the method mentioned in this verse, he has to control the senses, render service to everyone, and engage in the welfare of all beings. It is inferred that one has to approach Lord Krishna, otherwise there is no perfect realization. Often, there is much penance involved before one fully surrenders unto him. In order to perceive the Supersoul within the individual soul, one has to cease the sensual activities of seeing, hearing, tasting, working, etc. Then one comes to understand that the Supreme Soul is present everywhere. Realizing this, one envies no living entity. He sees no difference between man and animal because he sees soul only, not the outer covering. But for the common man, this method of impersonal realization is difficult, very difficult. Text 5. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Purport. The group of transcendentalists who follow the path of the inconceivable, unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord are called Jnana Yogis. And persons who are in full Krishna consciousness engaged in devotional service to the Lord are called Bhakti Yogis. Now, here the difference between Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga is definitely expressed. The process of Jnana Yoga, although ultimately bringing one to the same goal, is very troublesome. Whereas the path of Bhakti Yoga, the process of being in direct service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is easier and is natural for the embodied soul. The individual soul is embodied since time immemorial. It is very difficult for him to simply theoretically understand that he is not the body. Therefore, the bhakti yogi accepts the deity of Krishna as worshipable because there is some bodily conception fixed in the mind, which can thus be applied. Of course, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form within the temple is not idol worship. There is evidence in the Vedic literature that worship may be saguna, or nirguna, of the Supreme, possessing or not possessing attributes. Worship of the deity in the temple is saguna worship, for the Lord is represented by material qualities. But the form of the Lord, though represented by material qualities such as stone, wood, or oil paint, is not actually material. That is the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord. A crude example may be given. We may find some mailboxes on the street, and if we post our letters in those boxes, they will naturally go to their destination without difficulty. But any old box, or an imitation which we may find somewhere, but we which is not authorized by the post office will not do the work. Similarly, God has an authorized representation in the deity form, which is called Archa Vigraha. This Archa Vigraha is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. God will accept service through that form. The Lord is omnipotent, all-powerful. Therefore, by his incarnation as Archa Vigraha, he can accept the services of the devotee, just to make it convenient for the man in conditioned life. So, for a devotee, there is no difficulty in approaching the Supreme immediately and directly. But for those who are following the impersonal way to spiritual realization, the path is difficult. They have to understand the unmanifested representation of the Supreme through such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads. And they have to learn the language, understand the non-perceptual feelings, and realize all these processes. This is not very easy for a common man. A person in Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service, simply by the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, simply by offering regulative obeisances unto the deity, simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, and simply by eating the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the Lord, realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. There is no doubt that the impersonalists are unnecessarily taking a troublesome path with the risk of not realizing the absolute truth at the ultimate end. But the personalist, without any risk, trouble, or difficulty, approaches the Supreme Personality directly. A similar passage appears in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated there that if one ultimately has to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this surrendering process is called bhakti, but instead takes the trouble to understand what is Brahman and what is not Brahman, and spends his whole life in that way, the result is simply troublesome. Therefore, it is advised here that one should not take up this troublesome path of self-realization, because there is uncertainty in the ultimate result. A living entity is eternally an individual soul, and if he wants to merge into the Supreme Whole, he may accomplish the realization of the eternal and knowledgeable aspects of his original nature, but the blissful portion is not realized. By the grace of some devotee, such a transcendentalist, highly learned, in the process of Jnana Yoga, may come to the point of Bhakti Yoga or devotional service. At that time, long practice in impersonalism also becomes a source of trouble because he cannot give up the idea. Therefore, an embodied soul is always in difficulty with the unmanifest, both at the time of practice and at the time of realization. Every living soul is partially independent, and one should know for certain that this unmanifested realization is against the nature of his spiritual blissful self. I'll say again. Every living soul is partially independent. And one should know for certain that this unmanifested realization is against the nature of this spiritual blissful self. One should not take up this process. For every individual living entity, the process of Krishna consciousness, which entails full engagement in devotional service, is the best way. If one wants to ignore this devotional service, there is the danger of turning to atheism. Thus, the process of centering attention on the unmanifested, the inconceivable, which is beyond the approach of the senses, as already expressed in this verse, should never be encouraged at any time, especially in this age. It is not advised by Lord Krishna. Do you all feel better? Clears the mind, right? Because when we know that there's a very specific object to focus on in our thoughts, our meditation, our service, Prabhupada said we should center our activities around Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, then immediately determination arises and energy, because we have direction. And if there's uncertainty about where to put our energy, then it can go in many different ways. Bhogaishvarya prasadhanam dayabra ita chetasam vyasayapika mudir samadhao nabhidhiyate. Especially if there's a way in which if I'm interested in material enjoyment, we talked about this earlier, the very thought of material enjoyment is frustrating. And not only that, it's captivating. The material energy is captivating. As we mentioned in another temple, but the verse, Jayato Vishayam Pum Sangasteshu Vijayate. Krishna talks in the second chapter about the process of one becoming attached to material things, sense objects. And he says, first of all, when there's contemplation. Does anybody have a dictionary? Could you look up there? There's our literary man right there. Look up contemplation. I've done this many times before, but it never ceases to impress me. It's nice to look at the roots of the words so we know what we're talking about. And dhyayato, the word implies some contemplation is what Prabhupada translates it as. Kind of meditation. Okay, Vinod, what is contemplation?
A noun. Concentration on spiritual things as a form of private devotion.
Say it slower.
Concentration on spiritual things as a form of private devotion.
What kind of dictionary you have? I think you got a snap deck over there. What else you got? That's it? We're all okay then.
A state of mystical awareness of God's
being. A state of mystical awareness of God?
Of God's being.
Of God's being. What else you got?
An act of considering with attention.
An act of considering with attention. Anything else?
The act of regarding steady.
The act of regarding
steady.
Steady?
Steady.
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 S-T-U-D-Y-I-N-G.
S-T-E-A-D-I.
Steady.
Steady.
And where's the word come from?
First used 13th century. There's no clear roots. There's no clear roots.
No root word.
But there's temple.
Huh?
Template seems to be close to the root.
Template?
But there's no clear roots provided.
Okay, read that third definition again.
An act of considering with attention.
An act of considering with attention. That'll work. Dhyayato vishayam pumsam. So the act of considering with attention. So if I give my attention and with some consideration, what is that consideration? Maybe there's something in this for me. If I look at it and I think, I can get something out of that, that's mine. Then dhyayato vishayam pumsam sangasteshu vijayate, then there's an attachment that develops, a sangha. And now I become connected to that item. An item is just an item. But when I look at it and I consider it with attention, then it becomes my item. And now I have to carry it around. And it becomes a problem for me. So, bhogaishvaya prasaktanam tayapachi prahita chetasam. And then, vyavasayapika buddhir samatau nabhidhiyate. The resoluteness in devotional service doesn't take place because the mind becomes attached to many different kinds of sense objects and becomes bewildered by that. And so there's also a way in which was mentioned here that a person who thinks about the impersonal aspect of the absolute also is missing one very important element or nature of the absolute, which is ananda, or bliss. And in Brahma, in his prayers to Lord Krishna, in the 14th chapter, 10th canto, says, Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam nashobate jnanam aham niranjanam. And this means that even if you're engaged in self-realization, naishkarmyam, you're not interested in the material part. You're not looking at material sense objects because you're already a jnani. And you've figured out that the contemplation on material things leads to a kind of attachment, which leads to a kind of debt and obligation, and that ultimately drags one into a lower position. Molds the mind to a lower sense of contemplation, discipline, and contentment. And however, naishkarmya, apyachuta bhavavarjita, because it is devoid of achuta bhava, which means feeling for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no bhav. There's no feeling for Personality of Godhead. Naishkarmyam api achuta bhakti. Even though it may be spiritual, it may be above the modes of material nature and the senses, but still, because it doesn't have achuta bhav, ashobhate jnanam alam niranjanam, it doesn't look very good to a person in full knowledge. Nashobhate means it's not beautiful, like arotiko shobha. Shobha, that means this beautiful arti. It's magnificent, it's aesthetically pleasing. Nashobhate means it's not aesthetically pleasing, it's not beautiful, it's not something that actually dazzles the soul. Nashobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. So then he goes on to say, what to speak of somebody engaged in material activities? That's just dumb. But even if somebody has realized that, the stupidity in that, and the futility in that, but engages in a spiritual life that doesn't have a chuta bhava, still it's not nice. It's not, to a transcendentalist, it's not very beautiful. It doesn't look good at all. So, therefore, Krishna here is saying that just meditate on my personal form. And Prabhupada says that this is the easy process, and especially in this age, because there are more distractions in this age, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam, first canto, Prayinal Payusha Shabhya Kalavatsmin Yugejana, Mandasumanda Matayo Manda Pagya Hyupadavata. In this Iron Age of Kali, men of but short lives, they're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above always disturbed. Shall I repeat it? In this age of Kali, men of but short lives, they're quarrelsome. Any of this sound familiar? Lazy. Lazy means lazy to take up spiritual life. Hey, take a look at this. No thanks. But games and all kinds of stuff. You look on the airplane, people are absorbed in all kinds of mind-numbing activities. And now there has to be a screen in front of your face everywhere you go. Most of the airplanes now have a little screen right on the back of the other seat. As if, I was thinking the other day when I got on the plane, they haven't figured out that we can't live without that. I mean, how are you going to possibly sit there for a couple hours without watching a screen and not going crazy? So they put those screens everywhere. And people tend to become lazy about spiritual life. Lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So these are the difficulties in the age of Kali Yuga. And therefore, there needs to be a process through which, very powerfully, one can engage the senses in the service of the Lord, come in direct contact with the Personality of Godhead and experience the wonderment of contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's Sankirtan. And the mantra itself contains the personal form of the Lord, as confirmed by Narada Muni in the fifth chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Iti murtya vidanena mantra murtim amurtikam. Yajite, what is the rest? Yajite purusham sam yagya sasam yag darshanam puma. One gets the full darshan of the Lord and can realize the full form of the Lord in the mantra. Iti murtyabhidhanena mantra murtim amurtikam. So this word murti means form. Just like if you go down to the front of the temple to some of the shops there, you tell them you want a murti of Lord Chaitanya, they'll pull out a bunch of forms of the Lord that are made out of metal and wood and things like that. So there's an actual form. The Lord has a form. It's an absolute form because it's unlimitedly dimensional. He's within every atom and everywhere within the universe at the same time. And however, that form, iti murtyabhidhanena mantra murtim murtikam, normally is very difficult to see because a murti means form and it also means difficulty. These two meanings are given in the Sanskrit dictionary. But this verse says, mantra murtim amurtikam, that through the mantra, seeing the form is not very difficult because it's amurtikam. And that one can have the full darshan, the full vision of the Lord through the mantra. So the Hare Krishna mantra is described in the Shastra. Is it Padma Purana? Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuto Nitya Mukto Bina Kvam Nama Namino. This is another proof that the full form of the Lord and all of his qualities, including Ananda, are present in the name. And that is that he's like a desire, he's like a touchstone. And he's completely present, fully in his holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. And the rasa, this is also important. That means the taste of relationship with God is available by chanting the holy names also. That means you can directly experience the Lord and see the Lord's form and also develop your relationship with the Supreme Personality of God through the name and the taste of that relationship. Purna Shuto Nitya Mukto, it's complete and completely pure and eternal. Binatvam Nami Namino, and there's no difference between the name and Krishna himself. But then Rupa Goswami comes along and says, but after all, there is a difference between the name and the named. Everyone knows there's no difference between God and his name, right?
Yes.
So then why does Rupa Goswami come along and say, there is a difference? In his ashtakam called Nama Ashtakam, the holy name says, Vacho Vacho Kamitya Deity Bhagato Dvayam Swarup. What is it?
Nama
Swarupa Dvayam. He says, so there's Vacham and Vachakam. So there's the name and the named. They're the same. Binatvam Nama Nami. No, there's no difference between the two. And then he says, now there is a difference. And what is the difference between the two? He said, the name is more merciful than the named. How can that be? So he says that if you offend Krishna and one who's somehow or other ensconced in the material world is considered to have somehow or other turned away from Krishna and become an offender. If that person takes to the chanting of the holy name, which avails itself, himself, to the living entities in the material world, then he'll be plunged into the happiness of connection with Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So, cultivating a clear understanding that God is a person and a transcendental person who's omnipotent clears the path for the mind to think of him constantly without any obstruction. And then one can become satisfied because the mind needs some place to rest. And it can't rest on material objects because they're fleeting. And their contemplation leads to dissatisfaction. And we can't think of nothing. We can't think of the impersonal feature of the Supreme. It's very difficult to imagine. And that's why the impersonalists generally conceive five different forms of the Lord. Panchopasana. They make five different kinds of deities, and they worship those deities with the idea that once they achieve a transcended position, then they can throw away the deity and no longer consider the deity. But the devotees of the Lord understand the correct philosophy, and that is that Krishna is the source of all other energies, and Krishna is also the source of the impersonal feature of the Supreme. And it is said, Vedanti tattvavidas tattvam yajnanam bhayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shakyate. There's three features of the Absolute. Advaya Gyantapa means there's one truth, but there's three aspects to that truth. And one is impersonal Brahman, another is Paramatma, localized feature of the Lord, who's in every atom and within the heart of the living beings. And then there's Bhagavan. And the Ashukadeva Goswami, speaking to Maharaj Prichit, says that various people are able to realize these various aspects of the Lord according to their approach. That some people, because of their approach, can only see Krishna as the impersonal Brahman. But those who are engaged in material activities just think Krishna is another material entity like them. But those engaged in devotional service, who are very fortunate, can actually play with Krishna directly in his feature as a cowherd boy. That's very specific. Isn't it? The God's a cowherd boy. It's really specific. So deity worship is also recommended here and in general, because when one worships the deity, one sees the very specific features of the Lord. And as Prabhupada mentioned here, we're used to dealing with specific features in the material world. So it's natural for us to worship the deity. It's natural to go shopping and buy things. And if you do that for the deity, and then you dress the deity, you see the various personal aspects of the Lord, then the mind has something that can become attached to. And it does. And it's transcendental. And one experiences a blissful taste from that activity.
Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman. Hey, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.